Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life to those who find it, and it is health and healing to our flesh. As we open your word today, Father, I pray for revelation knowledge to flow, for wisdom to come. And I know, Father, according to your word, that as the word is preached, faith will come. So we thank you for it, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give our podcast listeners a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Come on, give it to them. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're glad they're listening. Well, I was talking to the Lord, and there's a couple things he wanted me to go over. And we were talking about asking of God. And we are to ask, according to James chapter 1, we are to ask in faith. Let's go there. James chapter 1, real quick. According to the word, we ask in faith. Now, he's talking about wisdom here. Let's look at James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 5, starting in verse 5. He says, if any man or if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally. In other words, he'll give you more than you need. To gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in what? In faith. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he'll receive anything. He's a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. That's not good, right? So to be double-minded is not a good thing. If we're double-minded, then we're unstable in all of our ways, not just one, right? What does that mean? Well, if we are not asking in faith, then we have doubt. Causes us to be double-minded if we have doubt. We as believers, as children of God, must never doubt his promises. We must never doubt his word. Amen. Now let's do something real quick. Go to Numbers chapter 23. One of my favorite scriptures that I grew up with. And I live by, and you guys probably will, if you don't do this already, keep this in mind at all times. Numbers 23, and let's look at verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do? Has he spoken, and will he make it good? He will make it good. If he has said it, he'll do it. If God has said it, he'll do it. If he has spoken it, and where does he speak it? In his word, his written word. So if we find it in here, now we know that the word of God says that all scripture has been given by the power by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we know then by the power of the Holy Spirit, they're three in one. They're of one mind. Amen. Right? Don't be quiet on me today now. Come on. So they're with us. They believe. They are all together. What one has said, the other has said. They are of one mind. They are of one accord, just like what we see in Acts. Acts, right? Where they are of one mind and of one accord, and they were in prayer, and there was 120 guys up there, and they were sanctified, and they set themselves apart. They wanted a touch from God. And in Acts chapter 2, we see it. God shows up. Lights the place on fire. The Holy Spirit sets down on all of them. Tongues of fire coming out, right? Amen. They're of one mind. And this is something I've tried to get across to the body of Christ for years. We as a body are one body. And we must come together, unified. Speaking, we can't talk against one another. We can't gossip about one another. It's only going to affect you anyway if you do that. Right? So we are to be of one mind and of one body. And if we'll do that, we'll see what happened in Acts 2 right here in this house. If we're of one mind and one body at home, can you imagine what a husband and wife would be like if they were of one mind and one body? They are. According to the word of God, when they've come together, they two have become one. So if the two have become one and they're in constant agreement with one another, not bickering, fighting against one. Oh, Lord. I don't want to say this, but see, I have a friend, and then the both of them, they're good friends of mine, they're family, known them all my life, and the both of them talk evil against one another. The one says this about the other, and this one says that about that one, and their husband and wife, they what's going on here, right? Because they're supposed to be unified together, right? I mean, that's why they came together in the first place, because of love, right? We got too many people out there that are getting married because of the flesh and not because of love. And we, as believers of God, when we hear the word love, we should think what? God. When we hear the word God, we should think of what? Love. God is love. And that's the way we should live our life. When we hear the word love, we should think God. When I say I love my wife, I God my wife. I God her. It's my job to wash her in the word of God. It's my job to pray over and protect her. It's my job as head of the home. It's her job, according to the word, to help me. And when she says, I God my husband, she does that very thing. She protects me. She guards over me. She never speaks evil against me. If she does, I'll find out about it. Well, no. She loves me. And because of that, we're two that have become one. We're not separated. We're one. We're together. See, and so we looked at and went all through all that to say that if God is not a man that he should lie, then we know men lie. Right? Now the devil, according to the word, the devil, there's no truth in him. So if you hear something that is opposite of the word of God, it must be the devil speaking. Hello. Amen. So we don't listen to it. But God, he says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Has he spoken and will he not make it good? And what I'm saying here today, and this is what the word of God is saying, is if God has said it, he will do it. If God has said it, he will do it. So then what we do is we find the promises of God. Let's back this scripture up. Go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, real quick. Psalm 89, let's look at verse 33. Start in verse 33. It says, nevertheless, my loving kindness I will not utterly take from him, nor allow my faithfulness to fail. God will not allow his faithfulness to fail in your life. Amen. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has come out of my lips. God will not alter his word for you. He'll not alter his word for me just because I'm a good person. He will not change his word. His word will always remain the same. So we see, has he spoken? Will he make it good? Amen. His covenant, he said, I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. God is not a man that he should lie. So we have two scriptures now that tell us that our God can't lie. Uh-oh. He can't lie? Go to Titus. Go to Titus. I always blow right past it. There we go. Titus, verse 2 of chapter 1, verse 2. It says, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie. Oh, God cannot lie. Promised before time began. Okay, now we see that God is not a man that he should lie. We see that God will not lie on anyone's behalf. He will not change his word. And now we see that God can't lie anyway. He couldn't lie if he tried. He can't. It's something, there's one thing God cannot do, and you know what it is? Lie. He will not go against his word. He will not lie. He can't. If he were to lie, his word would go poof. Because it would no longer be our solid foundation. We stand on this. We believe in it. We live by it. Amen. So in our hearts, not in our minds, in our hearts, we must know that if he said it, he'll do it. And because we know he'll do it, he can't lie. He will get it done for us. Now, we saw in James that we must ask in what? Faith. We must ask in faith. We cannot doubt. We cannot doubt. Now, you know how doubt comes to creep in? How does doubt creep into our lives? Thought. Simple thought. I heard Doc preaching a long time ago. He had come to our church. It wasn't anything, just a special night. He had come. And the Bible tells us a lot to take our thoughts captive, right? And if they try to be contrary to the word of God, cast them down, right? We see the word of God says, take no thought saying, where he's talking about what should we eat and what shall we drink and what am I going to put on and what am I going to do, you know? Take no thought, because here comes worry. Worry comes with a thought. It begins up in the mind. Now we have a battle. Because what we believe is in our heart. See, we believe with our heart, not our mind. The only way the enemy can pull what you believe out of your heart is by first starting with your mind. And it comes as a thought. It comes as a thought. Could be a simple thought. Could be an easy thing. Something very, very quaint, very simple. Or it could be just a smack. A total something. That comes against you by a family member. They're the ones that usually get to you the quickest and easiest, right? Your family. Because, I mean, you're supposed to be able to trust your family, right? I mean, you know, blood's thicker than water. Yeah? Ever heard that one? We're supposed to be able to trust our family. And I can't believe some of the things I've heard. Families that go against family, they hate one another. I mean, wait a minute. Yeah, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. That's not true. Because there's a lot of people that will choose not to hang out with their family, not to be a part of their family's lives. There are fathers who have disowned their children for certain things instead of helping them and loving them and caring for them and taking them in and trying to guide and direct them. No, they just disown them. Thank God that our Father God doesn't do that to us. You know, he had every right. He had every right, and he sent Jesus to die for us. When we knew no sin, he knew no sin. But he came and died for us when we did not even know him. So our God, he cannot lie. And he will not lie. And that's where we must know that within our heart, that if he has said it, it will be done. All I got to do is get this done in faith. Amen? So if we look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. All right. Because we talked about asking for the past couple weeks now. We've talked about ask, to ask. We know what that means. That means to beg, to crave, to desire, to require or demand something that is due us. Now, as a believer, as a son and a child of God, the word of God, the promises that are in the word of God are due me. They're for me. Therefore, you. Amen. So Hebrews 11, verse 1 says this. Now, faith is. Say that with me. Now, faith is. Now, it's right now. It's now. Not in an hour. Not tomorrow. It's right now. So when I ask of anything of God, my faith must be now. My faith must be now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Take that again to say now. My faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The Word of God then is what? It's our substance. The Word of God is our substance. If I'm lame in my feet, I can go to the Word of God and I can see that with the stripes of Jesus Christ, I am healed. We see that, right? We see that the Word of God tells us in Isaiah 53, right? So we see that we are healed, and it's by the stripes of Jesus Christ. So any ailment, any disease, sickness that would come against me, I am healed. That's my promise. Therefore, Isaiah 53:5 is my promise It is now my substance. It is my substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What am I hoping for? I'm hoping. And what does the word hope mean here? Confident expectation, not wish. Oh, I sure hope God will heal me. No, that's the way most believers live. Oh, I hope he'll do this. Oh, God, please, I hope you do this for me, Lord. No. What are we doing? We're taking a promise of God and we're standing on it. It is our substance. It's what we can visibly see. It's what we feel. It's this. This is our substance of things hoped for. So the Word of God then is the substance, and our substance comes straight from the Word of God. It is also our evidence. We have evidence. Our evidence, for me, was Isaiah 53:5. I have a confident expectation that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I put my faith in that promise. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things that I am not seeing. I can't see. Faith is the what? The evidence of what I do not see. I may not see it in my feet, but I see it right here. It's my evidence. It's my substance. Do you know what? The Word of God can change the facts. You know, the doctors can come and tell you that it's a fact you have cancer. But see, I've been now alive 48 years, and I have seen the power of God destroy cancer. Eliminate cancer. I've seen it happen. I've seen cancer fall off of bodies of people. I prayed over my dog. And don't think that God doesn't care about your pets. If you love them, guess what? He loves them. Doesn't the Word say that He cares about the birds? Huh? Doesn't He? Yeah. See, He cares about them. He knows if one falls. He cares about you even more so. Think about that. But my dog, I like to wring her neck sometimes. But she had a thing in her eye. We found out it was a cancer. It was a little tumor thing. And we ain't got the money for, you know, cancer treatments for dogs. You know, well, we found out, I took her in and we found out that it was too close to the eye, and because it's right in the corner. It's an area that they could not operate on. So I'm a man of the Word. I believe the Word of God. I believe in healing. I believe that you can heal. If I lay hands on the sick, the word says, if I lay hands on the sick will recover because I'm a believer. All right. So what do? I on the way home from the vet, doctor, the vet, whatever, I'm driving down the road and the Lord says, well, what are you going to do? What do you mean, what am I going to do? You going to pray over this dog or are you going to let it die? Well, thanks, God. And I don't know about you, but that's the way God talks to me. He's up front, to the point. He doesn't mill around, doesn't sugarcoat anything. It's the way I've been living all my life. My mom and dad never sugarcoat anything. They give it to you straight. A lot of people can't handle that. It's the way I've lived. My dad was a Marine, so, and a preacher. Anyway, so amen. So I'm driving down the road, and the Lord says that to me, and I say, yes, Lord. And I put my hand right on her eye, and I start praying. And I ain't messing around now. I mean, okay, you want to challenge me with that one. You know, okay, so I'm putting it on. I'm putting the power on the dog. And I'm telling this cancer it's of the devil and it must go. And that dog is mine. Therefore, if it's mine, you can't devour it because I'm a tot. Oh, I'm going down the road, man. I'm doing it all. I'm pulling every scripture out of me that I... We get home. I get her out of the vehicle, you know, and I walk in the house and I get on the phone talking to Sue. And I'm telling her what's going on, this, that, and the other. And I look over and it's gone. It's not there. And this thing was, I mean, the size of a pea. It had gotten that big that quick. I look over and it's gone. I said, honey, oh man. I said, honey, oh, wait. Now I'm excited. Now I'm getting a little fired up. So I call, you know, I'm talking to her on the phone. I said, you're going to have to see this. I said, just see when you get home. See when you get home. I'm all excited, you know, praise God. My dog, it's just my dog and God cares about my dog because I care about my dog. Now, if my God will heal a dog, then won't he heal you? Won't he heal me? Amen. Absolutely. You say yes, amen, he will. Amen. I mean, with boldness and with a force. And that's what I've lived that way all my life. And I've seen him heal. I've seen him deliver people of demons, who demons have screamed out and cried out in weird voices. And I've seen this all my life. And I know this, that God is more powerful than what is in this earth today. My God, greater is he, right, that is in me than he that's in this world. I have his strength with me, his power with me, that where I go, he goes also. Man, and if he cares about my dog, then I know he cares about me. So if he cares about me, he cares about my healing, because Jesus bore an ultimate price, didn't he? He bore an ultimate price. When they were done with him, he was unrecognizable. And he did that for me. He did that for you. And I have to, I've lived to take it personally. Amen. That what he did for me, he did it for me. Now, yes, he did it for all for the remission of sin, but he did it for me. And I believe that. And so I take it personal that he did that for me. I owe him my life. I owe him every breath that I breathe. I hear people singing these songs on this station that sometimes I listen to. You know, I owe him my breath, what I breathe. Okay, yeah, do you? Do you, do you, do you? Or do you live like you do? When you get up in the morning, is your first breath in prayer and supplication with the Lord? And don't be condemned if it's not. Because sometimes I get out of bed and go, oh man, I'm sore, you know, or something like that. But I've got to get my time with him and honor him and know, let him know where my place is, that he's number one in my life. And put him in that place and keep him there. When we talked about asking of God, we ask in faith. Amen? That word talking about when we're asking is to keep asking in the Greek. It allows for asking and then asking again and asking again. So we then must ask, but ask in faith. And when we ask again, we must ask in faith. Not that he hasn't done it yet, because see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's my evidence of what I'm not seeing yet. That's faith. The Bible says the just shall do what? Live by faith. Not once a week, not once a year, not a, what do they call them, EC Christians? Easter Christmas Christians? No, no, every day. Every hour of the day we live by faith. Faith is my substance. I pull out the Word of God. And so when I ask of God, I ask according to His promise. We saw in 1 John 5:14-15, that this is the confidence that I have in Him. That if I ask anything according to His Word, it's His will. According to His will, He what? Hears me. And if I know He hears me, I have the petitions I've asked of Him. So I must ask according to His Word, which is His will. I must ask according to His will. And then there's something I must do. I must know that He heard me. See, there's Christians that go living life under condemnation. And they may pray, but they're not sure that God will hear them. They don't feel that they're worthy that God would hear them. Or that because that they may have sinned or missed the mark in certain things, and that God won't listen to them because of it. You know, I missed the mark a lot with my dad. There were times where he would have rules and regulations, things that I must abide by in his home. And sometimes I would break those rules. My dad, he would not spare the rod. But he did not ever hate me. He never held it against me. And when it was all said and done, and I had broken the rule, and he rebuked me, it was over with. And he never brought it up again. Ever. Now, there were lots of times he could have brought it up again. You knucklehead, you did it again. He could have said that, because I've done more than once. I've done something, you know, that I shouldn't have done. But he never did. And this is how our God is. The Bible says what? Their sin and their iniquity I will remember no more. No more? Wiped clean. Gone. No more. Isn't this how a Christian should forgive? When we forgive, we must then forget. And if husbands and wives would live this way, they would have the best relationship in the world. Oh, best. Because number one, if you forgive, you forget, you're communicating. Communication, communication, communication. Because people who forgive and forget don't hold things against one another. They don't hold things. You know why people don't talk? Because usually they're mad at one another. Oh, I got something against that one. I ain't talking to that person. They'll put their head down and walk right past them, you know. Right? I mean, you know, you've felt like doing that to someone. I know you have. We all have. I've maybe done it once. But, right? But you know how that is, right? Oh, boy, I ain't talking to that person the way they said that against me. No, wait a minute. No communication. Therefore, we're not together. We're not one, right? No. Husbands and wives do this to them. Why does the Bible say that? Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Fix it before bed. Fix it before you go to sleep. Get things right with whoever. But make sure also that you've gotten things right with God. Amen. So communication. Very important. But the only way people don't communicate is because they've got something against one another. If you, real quick, let's go to Mark 11. Mark 11. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Mark chapter 11 and verse 20. It says this: Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now we know this story. Jesus was hungry. He wanted something to eat. There was no figs on it. So he said, no one eat fruit of you here from this day on, right? And they had passed by, and the fig tree was dried up by the roots. Verse 21 says, And Peter remembering said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. And see, Jesus answered and he said, Have faith in God. Now we know the Greek allows for have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Let's keep reading. Have faith in God, he says. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, to this what? Mountain. To this fig tree. To this bill. To this sickness. To this disease. To this rebellious spirit in that child. Whoever says to this mountain. You know, there's so many mountains out there that try to come into our lives. Because see, it's the mountain that keeps us from direct connection with our God. So if he can keep a mountain in front of you, we call them walls, don't we, sometimes? If he can keep that wall between you and God, you can't receive. So whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt, and does not doubt in his heart, not in his head, in his heart. Where do we believe? We believe with our heart, not with our head. See, where doubt will come, it will come first in our head. It will come as a doubt will only come first as a thought, because we are believers. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he what? Says. Uh-oh. And he believes that those things he says will be done. He will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever I say, believing, I will receive. Whatever I say, believing, I will receive. Now, so what am I saying? Well, when I ask of God is when I say. When I ask of God is when I say. When I ask of God is what comes out of my mouth. I don't ask of God with my head. This is not a thought prayer life. You know, Christians, they don't pray out loud. Some of them don't know how to talk to God. And I liken it to you talk to God as if He's standing right here. Because He is. He's our God. He's our Father. Abba, Father. In other words, Dada. So when we come to Him, as we come as a child. We're His children. I'm His son. You're His sons. You're His daughters. We come to Him. Never be afraid of Him. Because the Bible says there is no fear in love. And God is love. So when we ask of God, we say with our mouth, Father God, in Jesus' name I thank You, according to Your word, that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. So Father, I'm asking now for that healing to manifest, and I thank You for it. And I believe it's done, according to Your word, in Jesus' name, amen. According to what? His word. According to His word, not according to mine. And here's where Christians get hung up. They begin to put their faith in what they've said instead of keeping their faith in what He said. They begin to start to think, did I pray right? Did I say right? Oh, no. Now we're doing something, aren't we? Doubting. Uh-oh. He's got us already. He's a dirty, rotten scoundrel, this devil. He will do everything he can to pull your faith out. To cause you to not believe that what you said will come to pass. And we just had Jesus tell us that whatever we say, we shall receive. Isn't he dirty? He's dirty. And it doesn't take 2 seconds for him to try to come in and bring doubt into your life. But as soon as he does, he's won the battle. Now what do we have to do as a Christian? We have to go to God. Father, I repent for not being in faith. So I ask you to forgive me of that, Father. Now in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that according to your word, and what do? I do it again. And then if a thought tries to come, I do what? I rebuke him. I cast him down. I kick him out. I yell at him. I write him messages on the bottom of my foot because he's under it. You have the power over him. Oh, boy. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. I know it because of what the Word says. But I've seen the power of God overcome the enemy. I've seen the power of God overcome evil spirits. I've seen people freed and delivered who were possessed. Scream and cry out and in voices that you could not even imagine. Well, I remember when I was just a little kid. I'm sitting, we went to, I believe it was Buffalo. We were in Buffalo, New York. And at the time, my dad, Pastor Ed, was traveling with Pastor Bob Swinger. And they were on the road a lot. And this was early on in the ministries. And I'm sitting there. We're in this house. We're having a Bible study. You realize that, by the way, too, that these two men would travel to Buffalo, New York, because they needed to hear the Word of God just for a Bible study. We're here to preach the Word. We're here to preach the Word. Amen. And that's how they felt. So that's how they lived. But anyway, and I'm just a kid. I can't remember how old I was. I was probably, I don't know, 11, 10, 11, right in there. It was right about the time I went to Israel. I went to Israel around 11 years old. So I'm sitting on these steps, and I'm sitting there, and I'm listening, and oh, Pastor Boy's preaching the Word, you know, and this, it was great, you know, and I love watching my dad. He was awesome. And I'm just sitting there enjoying myself, and he's now, if anybody needs hands laid on them for anything, come on up and just sit right here. And well, here comes this lady, you know. And she comes up and she sits down in the chair, and so they begin to pray, and they're praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, and they're praying over her, and all of a sudden you hear this, I'm going after her, out of this weird voice. That was not a woman's, was not a man's, this was weird. It was totally of the enemy. But I'm going to kill you, is what she said. Or what it said, not what she said. And he immediately, my dad did not allow that voice to continue. And he shut that thing up. He told it to be quiet. You don't have any right to talk here. I mean, these are just words that I can remember him saying. And then he began to say, now come out, come out, come out, get her out of him. And this thing left her. And it was the most beautiful thing. The change in her face, in her countenance, her eyes, you could see joy in this young lady. This thing had her bound. So I've seen it. I've seen the power of God work. And it's mighty. And it's mighty. And we see it throughout the entire Word of God, don't we? We also know that there's going to be a battle coming. We're going to go spend some time in heaven with our Father. We have a great feast. See all of our loved ones. Hang out for a minute. But then the Word of God's clear. We're going to come back. And we're going to war. Now, you do know the Bible says that we win, right? See, we believe that, don't we? Do we? Do we believe that we're going to win? How come we can't get Christians to believe that they're healed? And I'll tell you, and I understand this, I know, when you're fighting sickness and disease, and you're in pain, it's hard. It's hard to pray. It sometimes gets hard to fight, doesn't it? Because you're in pain. And we want instant healing. We want instant, no more pain. Don't we? But sometimes that doesn't happen. And so when we're believing God and it just doesn't immediately take place, what do we need to continue doing? Believing God, standing on His promises, standing on His Word until manifestation, until it happens. And it will. Why? Because He said it would. We're not putting our faith in our Word. We're not putting our faith in our promises, what we've said. We're putting our faith in what He said. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man he should repent. Hath he not said, will he not do? If he has spoken, will he not make it good? Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. My dad wrote a song. It was entitled, God Cannot Lie. Awesome, awesome. Our God cannot lie. He won't lie. He won't change His word for me. He won't change it for you. But that's what is so important. Because it'll never change, we can always go to it. And it will be our evidence, and it will be our substance of anything and everything that we are asking. And there's where we win. That's when we win. Amen? You men? You got it? Now you know what to do, right? We got to ask, and we got to ask in faith. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. I smell pizza. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Father. Father, we bless You and we praise You and we glorify You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, that we stand on Your Word. And I praise You and thank You, Father, that Your Word will never change. I thank You that You're not a God that You would ever lie. I thank You, Father, that we can stand upon Your Word and we can know that within our heart we can know it will be done for us. We give You glory for it and honor. And as we go this week, Father, I pray, Father, for Your angels to be in charge over us, guarding and keeping us. And I thank You and I praise You that blessing and favor flows where we go. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a blessed week.